If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And before I get into the core of what I want to share this morning, I want to look at the importance of God's Word. And I want to say a few things this morning. Well, more than a few. You know, there's some good books out there. How many know good Christian books out there? But they're not equal to God's Word. How many know that's true? They're good. There are nuggets of truth in those books, but you can't put them on par with the Word of God. How many know there's some prophecies out there? I listened to one actually this weekend, a very powerful prophecy. And if you're interested in listening to it, I have some CDs that someone made up for me on a very powerful prophecy from an Assembly of God minister in the States, just recent. But even a prophecy has to be judged according to God's Word. It's not on par with the Word of God, right? Anything that someone says, even myself, whatever I say has to be judged according to God's Word. Amen? So let's look at a few scriptures this morning concerning God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And I think we ought to pray this morning and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we just thank you this morning for your precious Word. And we just ask that you would speak to us, that you would minister to us, that you would touch us this morning. Lord, that you would speak to us through your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's look at a few scriptures that actually talk about the scriptures. And the first one is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Notice the word holy in front of the Scriptures, referencing the fact that they come from God Himself. Hallelujah. Which are able, I like this, which are able to make you wise. How many know our wisdom comes from God's holy word? Praise God. If you have any wisdom today, it derives from the reading and the application of God's holy word. Hallelujah. Then it says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you underline in your Bible, you should underline verse 16 because it's really important. And it's going to be more important as we move into the last of the last days. And how many know things are not going to get better? They're going to get worse. Hate to be pessimistic, but that's just the way it is. Thank you. Bob is always adding words to my vocabulary, and I thank him for it. Oh, that wasn't Bob. Who was it? Oh, that was Eric. Thank you, Eric. Okay, you guys are starting to sound alike. I don't know what's going on. Look at verse 16, because this is important, and if you don't, if you haven't underlined it in your Bible, underline it. It's important. All Scripture. Now that includes from Genesis to Revelation. You know, someone said to me not too long ago that they don't read the whole Bible. They just read portions of the Bible. They don't need to read Leviticus. They don't need to read the prophets, Jeremiah, they don't need to read all of that. They just read certain sections of the Bible. Well, I want to say this morning that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, starting in the book of Genesis and going right through to the last chapter of Revelation. All of it is inspired of God. And if it is, it ought to be read. Praise God. I'm getting excited this morning. I got to calm down. Now, it's profitable for doctrine. And that word doctrine means teaching. We're not teaching other people's ideas. We're not teaching man's ways. We are teaching the Word of God, which is God's ways. Okay? That's what that word doctrine means. It means teaching. For reproof. How many know that sometimes we need to be rebuked? Right? And when you read the Scriptures, sometimes the Scriptures convict you. Right? Someone said, please, Pastor, just preach the good parts of the Bible. Well, how do you make the difference? There are the portions that are so encouraging. Oh, hallelujah. Then there's the other portions that convict us. And thank God. I want to say this morning. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because if there's something in you or something in me that God needs to remove, He's going to use the Word of God to do it. Sharper than any two-edged sword. For correction. You're going the wrong way. You're on the wrong path. You know, it really troubles me. Can I just go on a little bit of a rant this morning? It really troubles me the amount of people in Creston, and I've said it before, I want to say it again, that don't think the church is important. They don't need to go to church. It's not important. They can just have church wherever they want. Well, you know what? I didn't come up with the idea of the church. Someone said, I don't like the organized church. Well, I didn't organize it. God did. Are you hearing me this morning? I didn't come up with that idea. The Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada did not come up with the idea of the church. That originated with God Himself. Hallelujah. He's the one that put pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ. We didn't come up with that idea. It's in the Bible. Oh, Lord, help me out. That's the end of my rant, by the way. That's the end of it. For instruction in righteousness, how to be holy. There's a way that God has for us so that we can become more like Jesus. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise God. Let's look at another one. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Two more important verses. Because, friends, when tough times come, you've got to know that when you're reading the Bible, you're reading and standing on God's holy word. And His faith in his word is what's going to get you through. His promises. Okay, let's look at two more verses. You really should underline them. They're very important. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture, which really means the contents of the Word of God, is of any private interpretation, or another translation says, or origin. In other words, and this is really important, because some people think that, you know, the Bible was just a collection of ideas. Exactly. They haven't even read the Bible. But they consider it a collection of ideas. You know, just thoughts that God had. You know, he had a vacation and he came up with a bunch of thoughts and he just threw them out there. And these people collected those thoughts and just wrote them down the best they could. That is not the Bible. The Bible says it's not a private interpretation. It's not some man's thoughts that somehow maybe he got something from God and he just put it in his own words. That's not the Scriptures. For the Bible says in verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is important as we are living in the last days of time, because there's so many that want to distort the Word of God. They want to distort the Scriptures, make it say something it's not saying. You say, well, how did God do it? God moved upon men. Yes, he moved through their personalities. They wrote in different ways. But every single word in the original languages, which is Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, all those scriptures that we have to translate into our language, word by word, came directly from God. Are you hearing me? The manuscripts have been passed on from generation to generation. And when the Scriptures are translated into another language, they go back to those manuscripts and they translate it from that to what we have in our hands this morning. Word for word, God gave it to the holy men of God. Are you hearing me? Word for word. That's important to remember. Now, there's a lot of challenges to God's Word today. But let me tell you that God spoke and we ought to listen. That's why we call it God's Word. Not God's ideas. Not God's thinking. God's very Word. Think about it this morning. When you're reading the Bible, you're reading God's very Word. Now, I know it's been translated into English, into French, into many, many languages around the world. But I believe with all my heart that as God oversaw the Scriptures, the manuscripts, he oversaw the translation as well. And we can be assured that when we read the Bible, we're reading God's Word. Hallelujah. Let's look at one more. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. I want to say that again. Every word of God is pure, which means it's been tested and found to be true. It's been refined over thousands of years. It has been found to be undefiled, reliable, You can stand upon the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ.
I suggest read a whole bunch of the Bible. Not against books, by the way.
Against them. There's some very good Christian literature out there.
But in comparison to the Word of God, a whole bunch of the Word, that's my wisdom to you today. Spend most of your time reading and studying and meditating upon the Word of God.
Why? Because it's pure. You know, when men write books, and there are a lot of good books out there, don't get me wrong. I've read a lot of books. Still read books. Still listen to tapes. Still listen to prophecies. There's a lot of good stuff out there. But even with that, you have to be careful, right? Your antennas always have to be up. But with the Word of God, you can put your antennas down. Hallelujah. Because you're reading something that is pure. Oh, glory to God. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Verse 6 is very important. If you don't have it underlined, I suggest you underline it. Do not add to his words. How many know there's a lot of religions today that add to the Word of God? Right? Even Christian religions add to the Word of God. And let me say, the Catholic Church is found guilty because they add to the Word of God. Hello? They add to it. The Bible says, don't add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Don't add, just accept what it says. Just accept what God's Word says. Okay, so let's, now that we've got that down pat, we never have it down pat, do we? Let's go over to what I want to talk about this morning for a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I think it's important for us to look at some subjects this morning. And I want to begin in chapter 1, and I want to begin at verse number 1 and look at what God is saying this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now that's important. The will of God. How many know the will of God is important? How many know the will of God is important? We seek after God's will. We desire to know God's will. We want to be in God's will. Praise the name of Jesus. Whatever steps that we take, we want them to be ordered of God. Hallelujah. Have you ever been out of the will of God? I have. And it's a horrible experience because it's not that God leaves us. It's the fact that, you know, we just don't feel that peace flowing inside of us. We want the peace of God that passes all understanding. And here Paul says, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, not by the decisions of men alone, but by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now, I want to stop there for a moment because I think this is an important subject. And I want us to go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I've already touched on it, but I think it's important to look at it this morning because it's God's word. Because you know what? There's an attack on the church here in Creston. I don't know if you realize that, but God has revealed this to me so strongly. There is an attack on the local church right here in Creston. People are attacking the local church. They're saying there's no need for it. We don't need to have it. We don't need to gather together. I can meet in a home. I can meet in a Bible study. I can do this. I can do that. I can do something else. Well, I want to show you from the scriptures that they are dead wrong. You want to do it? Let's do it. And he gave some. Not everyone, but he gave some to be apostles, prophets. I believe in modern day prophets, by the way. I believe in modern day prophets. Agabus was a New Testament prophet. Not everybody's a prophet, but there are some. Some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, what is their job? For the equipping of the saints. Are you hearing me? So if someone is sitting at home, how can they be equipped if they don't have a pastor or a prophet or an evangelist to minister to them? You say, well, they're just listening to them on the TV. You know that they've come, this is not me, by the way. I read an article in the CBC that says the brain function, our brain function is not meant for that kind of interaction on TV, on the apps that are being used to communicate. There's something missing. I'm pointing at my head. I hope it's nothing in me. For the equipping of the saints, for what purpose? For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. How do we come to the unity of the faith? The pastor's job is to equip the people so that they can minister. And as we work together as a team, oh, hallelujah. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. I'm going to say something that you may not like. I think a lot of people that are in these little Bible studies and whatever, not all of them, but it's because they don't want to be accountable to God. They don't want to submit to any church or any leadership. They want to do their own thing. Are you hearing me? And it's destroying the work of God in this town. That's what the Lord's revealed to me. Now notice that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. What's the purpose of the pastor? To help you to understand what God's word is saying so that you don't get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And there's a lot of wind of doctrine out there. And it's my job to teach the word of God purely. And powerfully, so that you understand what is right and what is wrong, so you can discern error from truth and truth from error. by the trickery of men. Paul talks about it. He says there's going to arise from your midst wolves in sheep's clothing. Right? How many know that's true? It's true, isn't it? They're entering in to the church to deceive or try to deceive you and me and get us away from the truth of God's word. And you know, in some cases, they've been successful. But we as a church, whether we're 50 or whether we're 60 or whether we're 70 people, we have to stand against the works of Satan in the name of Jesus and say, I can't accept that. It doesn't line up with the Bible. I don't want to offend anybody. Well, you know what? Maybe there's going to come a time where you might have to offend somebody if you're going to stand up to the Bible. Here's my thought, and I believe it's tied to God's word. If you can live a successful Christian life without the local church, then why on earth did God even create it? Makes no sense, does it? Why would he go to all the bother? And to have the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, and teaching young Timothy how to be a good pastor. Why on earth would he share all of that if we don't even need the local church? Now, I know there's some churches that are not preaching the Bible, but I believe that Grace Christian Fellowship, we are preaching God's word. We are preaching the truth of God's word right from the Bible. Are you hearing me this morning? I am preaching directly from God's holy word. Bible says here, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body joined and knit together. I'm just reading the Bible this morning. I'm just reading the scriptures, going verse by verse. And it all starts with the fivefold ministry. Now, I know that if you're in a town somewhere where there's no evangelical church, if you're on a deserted island and it's just you and your wife and Wi-Fi, no Wi-Fi, if you're in a communist country and you can't find a church. How many know we had people that came to our church in Brampton from the underground church in Saudi Arabia? They had to have home groups. They had to have small groups that met in undisclosed locations. But we don't live like that here in Canada. Not yet. We can get up in the morning, bathe, and come to church and hear the word of Almighty God. And friends, I'm telling you this morning, as if I heard directly from the Lord himself, the church in Creston is under attack from the devil. He wants to destroy this church and every evangelical church in this town that's preaching the gospel. And if we don't do anything about it, if we just say, well, I'm just going to go with the flow, we won't have a church. It'll be gone. It's that serious. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. You know, we need each other. We need each other. Hello, somebody. We need each other. We need to be knit together by the power. It's not a fleshly process. It is a spiritual process. But it has to happen. That's right. That's another good scripture. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. So all of this process happening in Ephesians chapter 4, from verses 7 right through to verse 16, all culminates into this last portion of this last verse, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Friends, we need to start telling people that what they're doing is not pleasing to God. And if there's a problem, they need to work it out, and let's get back together in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to, I'm closing up here, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But we only did two verses, but we said a lot. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints. I want you to turn to someone and say, you're a saint, not an ain't. You're a saint, not an ain't. You're a saint, not an ain't. You're a saint. Someone said, well, do I have a statue of myself? No. Is someone praying to me? Because in the Catholic Church, they pray to saints, right? You know, there's a certain saint they pray to for protection, and when they're traveling, they pray to a certain saint, and so on and so forth. Well, you know what? I want to declare this morning that if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are a saint. Hallelujah. You might not feel like a saint sometimes. You might not feel like some of the things you've said are come from a saint. But God this morning declares you and I to be His saints. He sees us how we ought to be. He sees what progression we are making and how He wants to shape us into the very image of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So when the devil says you ain't a saint, remind him that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, you and I are the saints of God. Hallelujah. Can you thank Him this morning that you're a saint? Hallelujah. You were a child of the devil, but now you're a child of Almighty God. And I just want to close by saying this, and we can continue on next week, but you know what? With becoming a saint, there's a lot of privileges. There's a ton of privileges. And I'm not saying pridefully, but I'm just saying that as saints of God, we have so many privileges in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about that next week, Lord willing. All the privileges that we have as saints of God in Christ through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God doesn't want us to live below. He wants us to live above, recognizing who we are in Christ. We can move forward. I'm finished. Got nothing else to say. But I've enjoyed it. Praise God. Father, we just thank you this morning.